You're listening to Past and Present, the Colonial Williamsburg podcast. Hi, welcome to the podcast. I'm Harmony Hunter. In anticipation of the Thanksgiving holiday, we're bringing you an archive edition of the podcast this week. We hope you'll enjoy this 2009 chat with author Mary Miley Theobald on the path pumpkins took to the holiday table. Mary, thanks for being with us today.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for asking.
I think tables across America, including my own, this Thursday, will have a pumpkin pie on them. And so I think it's a good time for us to talk about pumpkins as a part of American history, played kind of a larger role than most people would think.
The most interesting thing I found out about how pumpkins came to American tables would be that how long pumpkins had been on American tables. We can go back at least 5,000 or 6,000 years to Native American sites and archaeological sites in the Southwest and find pumpkin seeds that were consumed by the people of that era. Initially, it was only the seeds that were consumed because the pumpkin flesh was too bitter to eat. But after they were cultivated successfully, the Indians started eating not just the pumpkin flesh, but the leaves and the flowers and the seeds, of course. So they've been around forever. Now, they haven't been around European tables forever because Europeans didn't discover pumpkins until the 1500s, or really Columbus in the 1490s. And pumpkins are part of the what historians call the Columbian Exchange.
This is an ancient North American crop, something that Native peoples are consuming
very much
every part of here. How are Native Americans preparing and preserving pumpkins?
Well, interestingly, some early European explorers and settlers wrote about that. They were fascinated with the pumpkin. They described how Indian women prepared pumpkins, and they may have boiled it or roasted it, but they also dried them and made sort of a vegetarian jerky. But they would cut them in long slices and dry them in the sun or by the fire in one of their rooms, and then they kept for years, but you'd boil them before you ate them, but still. It sounds really easy to do, but when George Washington directed his farm manager to try that with some of their pumpkins that he wanted to preserve, to feed to animals, to livestock, the man reported that he tried that drying of them, but it didn't work. I suspected they just got moldy, and I don't really know what the secret is. The Indians could do it, but it wasn't so easy for George Washington.
Then when European colonists come to North America, they encounter the pumpkin. And we think of corn as being such an important crop to them, but you found a quote that suggested that the Massachusetts Bay Colony is eating pumpkins. What was that quote? Almost morning, noon, and night?
Yes, it's a poem, and it's kind of funny. You wonder if it wasn't a song. I'm not sure, but it was a poem that dated from the 1630s, and I can read a little bit of it, but what it says basically is that if it weren't for pumpkins, they would probably have starved. And what the writer of the poem, who is anonymous, says, "Instead of pottage and puddings and custards and pies, our pumpkins and parsnips are common supplies. We have pumpkins at morning and pumpkins at noon. If it were not for pumpkins, we should be undone or undone."
It sounds almost like they're sick of them.
They may be, may well be, but they were very much a part of the diet of the colonial Europeans, but not, interestingly, back in Europe. In Europe, they just didn't cotton on to the pumpkin at all. They were interested in it because it was a new plant, so some botanists grew pumpkin for the curiosity's sake, but really early on it got a reputation for being poor man's food. And so was corn. Corn got a reputation for being animal food. You didn't eat it. People didn't eat it, but it was livestock food or really poor person's food. And so you find poor people growing pumpkins near their dung hills because the soil is so fertile, of course. They grew very well there. But in cookbooks, it doesn't show up very often. One cookbook that mentions it is Martha Bradley, who wrote The British Housewife in 1770, and she calls the pumpkin a very ordinary fruit, principally the food of the poor. So you can sort of sense this really isn't for us, it's for them.
You touched on how Native Americans prepared pumpkin. What did the European colonists, the settlers, do with pumpkins differently?
Well, the English women have a tendency to make a pie out of just about anything, and they quickly figured out how to make pumpkin pie. They didn't call it pumpkin pie, but the first American cookbook, which was published in 1796, that would have been 20 years after the start of the Revolution, offered two recipes. They were for pumpkin pudding, but when you read them, one of them was made with a paste, which they meant pastry or crust, and one of them without. So that was more of a custard. And they stewed the pumpkins and then cooked them with cream, eggs, sugar, mace, nutmeg, and ginger, and baked it all 3/4 of an hour in a crust. If you look on the Libby pumpkin can, that's pretty much the recipe with a few more details, but it hadn't changed much. So I suspect that when we eat a pumpkin pie at dinner on Thanksgiving, it's pretty much the same pumpkin pie that they were eating 200, 300 years ago in the English colonies. Housewives could slice them up, cut them up, and put them in a pot and stew them. They could bake them with apples and add butter and vinegar and ginger and spices and make it like an apple pumpkin tart. They added them to soups and stews. A French cookbook mentions pumpkins, telling how to make many kinds of pumpkin soup with cream and butter and nutmeg. A lot of times, the simplest thing the women could do is cut them in half, scoop out the seeds, put them back together again, and then roast them, and then just serve them with butter. And that was probably the most common because it's the easiest.
It's so interesting to find that something that sustained the colonies in the early days and the Native Americans before that is such a rarity. Now it's been downgraded to just decoration. That you could eat if you had to.
Yeah, food. The pumpkin is more decoration now than food. But you can still find in the grocery stores some small gourds and squashes and pumpkins, and of course they're all related, that look more like the pumpkins did in early times, you know, back hundreds of years, thousands of years. We think of pumpkins as being orange, but pumpkins were almost every color. They were yellow and green and blue and red and tan and white. And most interestingly, some of them were several colors and multicolored and really beautiful. And you can see some of those in the grocery store today.
We know that Thomas Jefferson grew them, George Washington
yes.
grew them.
Yes.
And they were eating them, but they were also drinking them.
Yes. They grew them to eat themselves. They grew them for their livestock. And with typical American ingenuity, they figured out how to make an alcoholic beverage out of pumpkin. We think the Pilgrims probably did this first. And they, in fact, that same poem I quoted you earlier has a stanza that mentions drinking pumpkins. And they say, the author says, "If barley be wanting to make into malt, we must be contented and think it no fault, for we can make liquor to sweeten our lips of pumpkins and parsnips and walnut tree chips." So they were making a liquor of pumpkins, probably with persimmons and hops and maple syrup, and it was probably more a beer. Later on, further south in Virginia, one of the larger planters in the area, Landon Carter, mentions pumpkins in his diary, and he also figured out how to concoct some sort of alcoholic beverage. He doesn't give a recipe, but he called it pumperkin, which I think is a marvelous word, but it didn't catch on. So I've never seen it anywhere else but his diary. Maybe it exists, I don't know. But we don't know his recipe. We do know there were some other anonymous recipes from the 1770s that talk about how to, you know, get the juice of the pumpkin, boil it in copper, and let it be hopped, culled, fermented, and casked as malt beer, which they mean like you would make beer. So I think the pumpkin was probably a beer.
What part do you think pumpkins play in the American story? It seems almost like it was a sort of staple crop.
I think it was more important than we realize, because today it's not an important food. It's a nice food, and we have it on holidays, but it isn't important. And it was very important. From what we gather from written documents, is that it may well have sustained the population through a long winter, at least in the early years, in the early 1600s, not by the 1700s. But there just wasn't much food in the winter, and being able to have preserved pumpkin could well have kept people alive that wouldn't otherwise have. So I think it was a far, far more important food. I think colonists and Indians alike would have been appalled today at the way we waste pumpkin. We waste it on Halloween by carving it up into jack-o'-lanterns, and we, you know, smash pumpkins in the street. Pumpkins got more respect in the colonial era than they get today. Thank it for sustaining our ancestors during those hard early winters.
If you'd like to learn more, you can read Mary's article online at history.org/journal. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, I appreciate being asked, and good eating.
To support the podcast and Colonial Williamsburg programs, visit history.org/donate. We love hearing from you. Visit history.org/podcasts and click comment at the top of the page to drop us a line.